Hello, this is Gary Naylor. In these few moments that we have together, I'd like to explain something to you that, from creation, has been hidden from man. Now, when I say it's been hidden, let me remind you that when the Son of God, the Messiah, came to this earth, nobody understood or even expected that he would come the way he did and die on a cross. Paul even writes in Ephesians 3:9 that the grace of God was given to him to bring to light the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God. This mystery, Paul likewise declares in Colossians 1:26, is that which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. Yahweh does hide things, and he reveals them at the right time. Only now, as we anticipate the soon return of Yeshua, is he opening our eyes to see a mystery, which has equally been hidden from past ages and generations. And what we find is that even as Yahweh's plans regarding the coming of the Son of God were in fact beforehand written and foreshadowed in the Scriptures, once again these amazing truths we are now seeing are equally thoroughly revealed in not only the Scriptures, but throughout all of creation. Let us now behold the mystery of the two remnants. In Hebrews 6, we find a statement that leaves one guessing as to what the writer could be speaking of. Even as the author of Hebrews is a mystery, so is the statement of Hebrews 6:18. Here we read, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, in order that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge and laying hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. It says here that to show the unchangeableness of God's purpose, he interposed an oath by, quote, two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. What are these two unchangeable things? This anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, one which enters within the veil. The interesting thing is that they're not explained in context, so let's see what we can learn. Obviously, an oath performed via two unchangeable things is very near, if not specifically referring to a covenant. In fact, these verses just explain the process of the covenant Yahweh made with Abram. Yahweh told Abram to gather the various covenant parts and lay them out in two groups, which he did, and then he guarded them from the birds of prey. And while Abram then went to sleep, Yahweh made a covenant with him. A smoking oven and a flaming torch passed between the covenant parts, affecting the covenant. This, my brothers and sisters, is describing something that is most relevant to the church. The two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie are the two covenant parts which Abram laid out in order for Yahweh to pass between them as the smoking oven and flaming torch. And this is precisely the picture that is seen in Elijah and Elisha. These two men had crossed the Jordan and were going along talking when suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. Don't you see the same picture? Abram had his covenant parts in which fire passed between them, and here Elijah and Elisha were walking along, and likewise, fire passed between them. Of course, it was here that Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind and passed his mantle along to a waiting and watching Elisha. But note the unquestionable similarity. What was taking place? What do these covenant parts have to do with Elijah and Elisha? And what is the fire that's passing between these parts that affects the covenant? And how does all of this relate to these two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie? This is the mystery that Yahweh is now opening to his remnant bride. In Zechariah 4, we find the identical pattern, only this time the elements tell another aspect of the story. Here we see the covenant parts as two olive trees. These two olive trees are likewise separated, but in this picture they're separated by a seven-branched lampstand. But it's the same picture, the two olive trees separated by a burning lampstand. Are you beginning to get the pattern? What are these accumulating patterns talking about? Zechariah 4 tells us that this picture specifically identifies a work that is not by might nor by power, but by Yahweh's Spirit. So what is that work that is performed by Yahweh's Spirit? Well, that's an easy question. Clearly, it's the work of the Spirit of God that He has performed for the last 2,000 years. The church received the Spirit of God when Yeshua breathed upon them, and then later on the day of Pentecost. Well, dear brothers and sisters, all of this that we have described is a clear pattern and picture of the church. The church cannot be just Christianity, though. A covenant alone requires both the covenant parts as well as the part that passes between. It's the Elijah and Elisha and the chariot and horses of fire. It's the two olive trees and the lampstand. None of these pictures are complete without both witnesses. What are we talking about here? I'll get straight to the point. The two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, the two prophets, Elijah and Elisha, or the two olive trees, are all witnesses of a two-part work that takes place in the church, one at the beginning and one at the end. These two works are formed by a former reign of Yahweh's Spirit, as well as the latter reign of His Spirit. One at the beginning of the church, and one at the end. We read in the book of Acts the accounts of the former reign that began on the day of Pentecost and culminated at the stoning of Stephen. This former reign work we call the first remnant. They were the first olive tree, or the first son of fresh oil. And what you are listening to right now is evidence that Yahweh is once again beginning to pour out His Spirit in the latter reign. There's no way that we can understand the things that I am sharing with you right now apart from an outpouring of His Spirit. The latter rain is now beginning to form this second sun of fresh oil, the other required covenant part. So the covenant parts in the church are thus the two remnants separated like an Elijah and Elisha so that the fire can pass between them. These two remnants are the two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. It's the establishment and work of these two remnants that'll bring strong encouragement and hope to man. We'll be the first to enter within the veil as a hope, both sure and steadfast. What then is the fire? The chariot of fire and horses of fire, the smoking oven and flaming torch, even the burning lampstand that passes between the two covenant parts. Let me ask you a very simple question. Regarding these two remnants, what's been between them for 2,000 years? Isn't it rather obvious that that which has separated, which has passed between these two remnant parts, is none other than the body of Christ? The seven-branch lampstand, the chariots of fire and horses of fire, the smoking oven and flaming torch, are all pictures of the body of Christ. Thus, what took place with Abram was only a foreshadowing picture of what Yahweh would perform on a much higher realm of the kingdom of God, the church. He is establishing the church in such fashion and order as to form a covenant with mankind. I hope you see this marvelous and powerful truth. Yahweh is using the church in such a way that is far, far above the plan or will of man to effect a work that only He can perform. Even as He put Abram to sleep, even as He put Adam to sleep, so the church has been put to sleep and Yahweh has and is performing a covenant with mankind. So do you see the vital necessity for the first remnant, followed by Christianity, and then the second remnant? And it is the second remnant that Yahweh is establishing now. Even as He called a bride out of a sleeping Adam, even as He called a remnant out of Babylon, so He is now calling a remnant bride out of Christianity. And it is to this pride that he is now opening the mystery that has been equally hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. And one might anticipate that anything that is as important as the two unchangeable things, these two covenant parts, cannot be isolated to just a few examples. In fact, what we find is that the Bible repeatedly evidences these two critical remnants. Let's look at a few more. In each case, the pattern is identical, only each one expresses some slightly different truth, either concerning the remnant or pertaining to Christianity. Another familiar and highly revealing testimony is what took place on the Mount of Transfiguration. Here again, we see the two-part remnant, this time Moses and Elijah, glorified on the mountain with Yeshua. Like Moses, the first remnant had to die in order to enter into the promised land. And like Elijah, the second remnant will not die but ascend alive unto Yeshua and defeat death. So in this case, there is the Moses and Elijah remnant works on each side of Yeshua. Where is the body of Christ in this prophetic picture? Exactly where Adam was when his bride came forth, and exactly where Yeshua was when a spear likewise pierced his side and out came blood and water. And exactly where Abram was when the covenant was made with Yahweh. The body of Christ was pictured in the three disciples who were likewise sleeping while the transfiguration took place. And at the end were rebuked for their building program ideas. These were the same two parts represented in the request of a mother, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. She asked if her two sons, James and John, could sit on Yeshua's right and on his left when he came into his kingdom. This is the same description of the olive trees. And like Moses' testimony of the first remnant, James was of the first to be killed at the beginning of the church. And like the Elijah witness of the second remnant who do not die, Yeshua said of John, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" Others thought at that time that John would never die. And certainly he was the only disciple who was not martyred. It's significant to note that these two sons were given a very special name by Yeshua. He called them the two sons of thunder. At the beginning, I said that these truths regarding the two remnants have been concealed until now. Is it not remarkable that in the book of Revelation, the peals of thunder were sealed? And at the sounding of those peals, the angel declared, "There shall be delay no longer," and that the mystery of God is finished. Even now, this prophetic second son of thunder, John, the second remnant, is being formed. Truth is no longer sealed, and the mystery of God is finished. Yes, Yeshua will have two sons of thunder sitting on his right and on his left, but they'll not be the literal two sons, but the two remnants. In Revelation, these two sons are identified as the 24 elders sitting on the 24 thrones around Yeshua. Why are these specifically 24 now? Where do these elders come from? 12 of the elders are already established, the James First Remnant 12 disciples. To complete the number to 24, the remaining 12 must come from the John Second Remnant work. These two 12-member groups provide the James and John witnesses, one on his right and one on his left. What other testimonies do we find? Let me list a few for you quickly. Even as the two remnant are the bride of Yeshua, so we see the like testimony in Jacob's two brides, Leah and Rachel. The first remnant is the Leah bride, who, like Leah, had weak eyes. She did not see all things clearly. The second remnant is the beloved and much preferred Rachel bride to whom the mystery is revealed. And in further testimony of the bride, we read in Song of Solomon 8 about two sisters. The first is the little sister who, it says, had no breast. What shall we do for our sister in the day she is spoken for? The question is asked. If she is a door, we shall barricade her with cedar, they respond. Was then the first remnant the door for the return of Yeshua? No, for her door was barricaded. The first remnant could not bring forth the Son of God. Even as her lack of breaths reveal, the first remnant did not have the ability to bring forth the perfect kingdom or the milk. Who then would bring forth the Son of God? Who would bring forth this groom, even as the desired kingdom? The second sister, who exclaims, "And my breath were like towers." And regarding her groom, she declares, "I became in his eyes as one who finds peace." Clearly we see here the two remnants. In chapter 6, these two remnant brides are called the dance of the two companies. And just like the remnant are separated by a period of the kingdom of God characterized by a time in which the kingdom is corrupted by Satan and his earthly man, even a time in which Satan takes the kingdom men to death. So we see in Job the identical pattern or picture. Job was blessed and favored by Yahweh. Then followed a period in which Satan was given the right to test and afflict him. This is the fire period. And finally, in the end, he was blessed with twice what he had before. This is the same pattern of the two blessed remnants, separated by the period of Christianity in which Satan has corrupted, afflicted, and tested the kingdom members. And even as there were two birds in Abram's covenant parts, so we see that there were two birds in Leviticus 14 that were for the cleansing of the leper. The first bird was slain over an earthen vessel over running water. This was the Moses' first remnant, who were equally slain in their earthen vessel over the running waters of Pentecost. Then the second bird was to be dipped into the blood of the first bird and released alive in an open field. Is there any doubt that this second bird represented the Elijah's second remnant, who did not die, but ascend alive to be with Yeshua? And if you think Yahweh's testimonies regarding the two remnant are limited to the scripture, take another look. Recent U.S. elections and administrations have been dramatically revealing. In fact, even so much so that we have an entire section on this subject on the website at www.jerrynaylor.com. I'll tell you more about the website in a minute. Even as we see Yahweh's testimony of the two remnant in Christianity in the pattern of the lampstand with the two olive trees, one on each side, Yahweh has recently further attested to this pattern in our U.S. presidency. Is there was an olive tree, a lampstand, and an olive tree? So we have seen a Bush, a two-term Clinton, and a Bush. So you'll have to go to the website to see how profoundly and amazingly true this is. We could go on and talk of the two sons of the deceased prophet who were likewise delivered from bondage by the fresh oil of Elisha, or the two cherubim of gold on each end of the mercy seat, or the two sons of Judah, one being a breech, the other having a scarlet thread, or the two spies who gave the good report, or the two spies hid under the flax on the roof of Rahab's home, are Martha and Mary, are the two groups of 144,000 in Revelation, are even the two fishes in the celestial testimony seen in Pisces. This list is endless. For when Yahweh testifies of two works that are the two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for him to lie, he skimps not in his testimonies. They are throughout the scriptures and all of creation. Let me invite you to go to our website at www.jerrynaylor.com and read more about these two remnants. That's www.jerrynaylor.com. you'll find an absolute banquet table of information from which others are already feasting. In fact, we offer to you there the banquet table of the marriage feast of the Lamb. Yahweh is now feeding us truth that has not been known in the entire history of man. He's opening the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing that we cannot contain. You'll also find our email address at the website, as well as our physical address and telephone number. I'll give you our telephone number now in case you'd like to call us. It's 360-825-9337. I hope you understand what is being shared here. You may want to listen to this tape again to make sure that you have grasped it. If you have any questions about this remnant bride, feel free to contact us. On behalf of the remnant bride, this is Gary Naylor, inviting you to join us at his banqueting table. Blessings to you.